good evening, everyone, and welcome to the call. I'm very excited about the topic that we're going to be discussing this afternoon or this evening. Please bear with my voice. It's a little raspy this evening, and I'll do my very best to speak in such a way that you... We want to thank everyone for every Tuesday night to join us live and to participate in this call, and those who may be listening to the recording after this event, we want to thank you for having the courage to take on your life, to ask the tough questions and do the tough things. We live in a time when that's required. If we truly want, because we know that success does not just happen. Happiness does not just happen. If we're waiting for it to happen, success is intentionally created. And when we catch the vision of intentional creation and how to partner with the power greater than ourselves and the principles that we can apply in our lives, we actually begin to experience that success with which we desire to experience in our lives. So we invite you to pull out a paper and a pen tonight and take copious, very tough questions tonight, questions that we're going to want to answer in our life to take us to the next level. Now, before we jump into this evening's call, I'd like us to take just a moment and welcome those who finished their assessment debrief training this weekend. We had fun come to our home on Wednesday, and we had dinner together, and then we left that evening and went to the cabin, and we spent Thursday studying the assessment, which everyone has taken, to begin to understand the math behind that assessment, so we understand how we could actually get the information that we get to. We're not reading tea leaves. This is a mathematical, scientifically validated assessment instrument. Then Friday we had an amazing experience. We went on a snowmobile trip to Hardware Ranch and then took a sleigh ride out amongst the wild elk. The herd was down a little bit because it hasn't been a harsh winter, but there were a couple of big bulls in there we got to see along with a lot of cows. It was a great experience, and we came back to the cabin. And then on Saturday we spent another day taking on this mathematics and beginning the process of assessment degrees. I just got an email from one of those coaches. Mike, if you're on the phone with us tonight, Mike just had two debriefs today, his first two. Very exciting to see those coaches take those things on, take on this opportunity. I know we have a couple of them on the phone. I thought we'd take just a minute. Bill Rauer, are you with us tonight? I think I heard your name.
I am, Dave.
Hi, Bill. Would you take just a moment and there are many people on the phone who are personally coaching and participating who will be able to sometime in the next few months come up and spend a weekend with Ramon and I just relaxing. And we have a couple on the phone, Jenny Mulcahy, who will be coming in the March class to be trained as a coach. Would you share a little bit of your experience at the cabin?
Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, thank you again, Dave. For such a great opportunity. It was just an amazing four and a half days for both myself and for my wife, Portia. And to be able to spend some time with people who are looking into this so seriously, have had coaching and are becoming coaches, and to dive more deeply into the assessment and how it works, the mathematics that show us how deductive it is and how objective it is was just really fantastic. And just some really incredible moments, both out in nature, as Dave was talking about, and then some really terrific moments connecting with people whom I hadn't really met. In fact, I hadn't met Dave and Ramona in person. Had spoken on the phone, but that was it. And
for many months.
Really walked away with some friendships that I know will last for a lifetime.
Well, thank you, Bill, and it was wonderful to have Portia with us. Those who come to be trained bring their committed companions if they would like, or spouses. And I know Ramona treated the ladies to a snowshoeing trip and then a trip off to the esthetician to have a facial and be pampered a little bit, so I think everybody had a great experience while we're there. And thank you. I'm I don't know if Mike is with us on the phone tonight. Are you with us, Mike?
Yes, I am, Dave. Thank you.
Congratulations.
I would have to...
assessment debriefs.
Yeah, almost three. We had a scheduled time. He didn't make it, and he called about 15 minutes ago, so we scheduled for tomorrow morning at 8. I'm excited about it. I would have to reiterate everything that Bill had mentioned. And there are a number of ahas and a number of little miracles that happen in our lives. Sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't. But I think that 4.5 days would actually fall into that category. And it's really kind of refocused our thinking and perhaps the thinking of everybody that may be on this call tonight, and that, you know, why are we here on Earth? What's our purpose? You know, what can we bring to the table of how can we help other people? What talent do we have to do that? What can we bring to the company or companies that we work for, whether it's doing what we'll now be doing or whether it's in another company and so forth. So a lot of those were really thought-provoking questions that, you know, for all of us, we need to make sure they're in alignment. And that, I believe before we came, they were, but that certainly cemented it, at least for both Lynn and I. I know Lynn had a wonderful experience with the entire group of the assessment that you gave her, as well as times with Ramona and Portia, the time snowshoeing and having the mask. That's another story. But we had a wonderful time. I would certainly encourage anybody that, you know, our life is a journey, and every step is, you know, we just keep one step in front of the other, and it just continues to evolve as life should and does. And I'm just thankful for the experience that both you and Ramona made us part of.
Well, thank you so very much, and thanks for being there. And it was great to have Lynn there with us as well. I know Marcy was there, and Therese and Delph, three of our other coaches. I don't know if you're with us on the phone tonight, but we wanted to thank all of you for the great experience. It's always a wonderful experience for Ramona and I to be with powerful people that truly want to make a difference in this planet, on this planet. And it's very exciting to see them learn so quickly and come back. And it's also thrilling for us to have them know that what we're doing is what we say it is, so they can actually get behind. Now, understanding the principles and living them, but getting into the science of this amazing assessment instrument and the work of Robert Hartman, who did the mathematics for it, just a great experience to share those moments. We had an opportunity on Friday morning, before we went snowmobiling, to discuss a topic which has been on my mind ever since. And I felt very impressed over the weekend that this needed to be our topic for Tuesday night, for tonight, for all of us, because we're living in a time of a lot of difficulty. I'm not a naysayer. I'm not a negative person. I'm always in intentional creation. And in intentional creation, we spend time with a lot of people, and we can see the pain. We can feel the pain because people don't have answers to many of these questions. They are floundering, going through the motions, spinning the wheels, struggling to know. Now I'm going to ask everybody to press *6 if you would on your phone. We've got just a little background noise that's happening. I think a little interference between phone lines. So just press *6 on your phone if you would. That'll help eliminate some of that noise. Thank you. I want to walk through what we discussed at breakfast. And if any of those who are on the phone, Marcy, Therese, Delph, Bill, Mike, if you'd like to chime in with any input from this. I had a conversation this afternoon with Eileen Erickson in her coaching session about how to market her business, her Nu Skin business, by answering these four questions. Some of you are in coaching businesses. Some of you are executives in companies. Whatever your profession, whatever your calling, let us explore these four questions as fundamental to helping us find a purpose for being on this planet, a reason for pouring our life into something. If we don't pour our lives into something of value, we know that the time will come when our life will be over. I'm getting getting to that age where I've been a little bit more sober about some of that planning. As we get to the age where things have happened, I'm older than both of my grandfathers now. Ramona's older than her mother. This is a very exciting time for us to be able to live like this with our children and to seek health. And to be able to get to a point that if we were to leave this planet, we would look back and say, that was worth it. I took my divine capital, if you will, that's what Robert Hartman called it, my divine capital, my gifts, my talents, as Mike referenced a few moments ago. I took them and I used them to create value in this universe. I did something of value. And it's very important as we consider this thought that it's not the quantity of what we do, it's the quality of what we do. I had a moment at breakfast when I recalled earlier that morning, I got up about 5, was sitting in the living room reading some of Dr. Hartman's speech that he delivered in 1968, and I had a really wonderful spiritual moment reflecting on my 5th grade school teacher, Virginia Colson. Virginia Colson was not young when I got into 5th grade. I lived in Woodbine, Georgia. Woodbine, Georgia was out in the woods of Georgia. And we went even to a smaller town called White Oak to go to elementary school. The desks were bolted to the floor. The bathroom was outside and separated from the building. They had a small playground. It was an old school. It had been around for probably 100 years or so in that small little community. Virginia Colson had been teaching there for probably 40 years, a long time. And Virginia Colson changed my life. I got in trouble one day for shooting rubber bands in class while she was out of the room. And she asked all of us who had been shooting rubber bands to raise our hands, and of course, you know, we had to be honest, we did. This was back in a time when there was a paddle in the room and she could use it. We raised our hands and she said, okay, I want each one of you. She handed us each a poem. Kipling's If. Remember that poem? She handed it to us and asked if we would memorize it. And we would not be allowed to go out to recess until we did. Well, I made a determination that night to memorize it. I was going to memorize it, so I did. And the next day I came back and I stood and recited it. She was so excited she marched me through the school reading it to the 4th grade and the 3rd grade and the 2nd grade, standing in front of the room reciting this poem in this country school in Alabama. It was a thrill because I was a Utah boy with a Utah accent in a deeply southern town, not feeling exactly welcomed for a lot of reasons, but all of a sudden I did belong. Virginia Colson knew and loved Dave Blanchard. I knew she did. I had no doubt. She added value to the universe in that little country school in Georgia. She poured her life into her career as a 5th grade school teacher. There were times when we would visit her at her home. She would invite us in. The kids just loved her. For generations, they loved Virginia Colson. She was that kind of a school teacher. We don't need to be the President of the United States to pour our lives into something. It just needs to be something of value that we can feel so passionate about and so focused on that it takes our divine capital and it helps us to grow it and for it to bear fruit, to make it worth us being on this planet. So the first question we want to ask ourselves in any business venture, in any relationship, why am I here in the world? Why am I here? Who am I? Why am I here? Why was I born? Og says that we were born for a purpose, and that purpose was to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. A mountain in that whatever that is we choose to do, that we become the best of that we can become, whatever it is, whether it's a 5th grade school teacher or whether it is the President of the United States, whatever it is, we become the very best we could possibly be in that particular calling. So I'd like you to ask, who am I? Are we here to be the best network marketer? of a similar calling, Dr. Hartman said, "Well, no dog would lick you for that." To make a lot of money? Is that it? It's nice, but it's not important enough for us to be born for that purpose, to make money. What is it? Are we finally ready to ask this question and truly have it resonate with our soul? In a coaching session today, a client said, I was born to help people realize their dreams, to help them look better and to feel better. I said, really? Is that really what you're born for? Yes, that speaks to me. What are you born for? I know what I was born for. I know that everything in my life led up to the darkest night imaginable in my life at about 1992, when staring down the barrel of a gun with a note from my family to explain how to use the $1 million life insurance policy I'd leave behind, I finally made a different decision. And I promised God that if He would show me how to get out of that pit, that financial pit, I would dedicate the rest of my life to helping other people get out of it. Show me the principles and I'll teach them with tenacity the rest of my life. That's my mission. That's not everyone's mission, but that's mine. What is yours? Why were you born? Do you know? Because to just go through life going through the motions is going to leave us really empty and hungry. Most of the therapists in this country are treating people who don't have an answer to this question. We're being medicated because of a lack of an answer to this question. May you, if you've chosen a profession, step back from the profession or back from the company that you're with and say, why am I here? Now, there's a great section in Dr. Hartman's speech. And he explains something unlike I had ever heard before when I read this nearly 8 years ago for the first time. He said that we have a mind and we have a body. And the higher we set our purpose, the greater the enrichment that we can offer to the universe, and the more we will have to develop our mind and body. So the higher the purpose, the greater the enrichment to the universe, but the more we will have to develop our mind and our body. And then he went on to say this, we have a body. Our body needs to be, and he uses some words that can be a little confusing, but just write them down so you can reflect on them, transparent to our mission. It's just like glass. It means it doesn't get in the way. We can pour our body into our mission without it getting in the way. He says that's called being healthy. It's called health. We're healthy when our body does not get in the way of our mission. It supports us. Now, I mentioned to the group on that Friday morning that midway through last year, I hit a crisis, health-wise. And it demanded that I get a nutritionist and a trainer and a doctor working with us to get my body back in shape. We trimmed down 30 pounds. We got 30 more to go. I had ignored it. That's not having it transparent. I had ignored it. And by ignoring it, it started to get in the way of me being able to fully pour myself into my mission of healing torn bodies and torn minds. Is your body in the way? If it is, Jenny, you're on the phone with us. You shared with me something this morning. She says, that's why I exercise. I exercise so that my body will not get in the way, so that my body will support me in my mission. Now, there's a great reason for getting up and exercising every morning, so that your body can support you in your mission. He went on to say that my mind is the same way, that my mind can get in the way. And some of those examples are rationalizations, illusions, self-deprecation, fantasy, catastrophe, worrying, needing to be right, lack of passion. All those thought processes all of a sudden get in the way of me fully pouring myself into my mission. So what do? I have the odd group measure of my thought processes, the assessment you're taking. Think of the reverence in taking this assessment, the reverence that these coaches now have for administering a debrief. What they are doing is saying to someone, what is your mission? Let's find out what's getting in the way of you fully pouring your mind into your mission. And then let us assist you in retraining those thought processes so that they will support you. Because if we don't, we have two choices. We either improve our mind and our body equal to our mission, or we lower our expectations for our mission so that it meets our current mind and body. Now think about that in your profession. Some of you in a profession that I've said often will fillet you wide open and expose all of your weaknesses and fears and frustrations. That's beautiful, because now you know where to spend your time if you are to change these thought processes so that your mind will be equal to your mission. Equal. Or you need to cut your mission way back, your purpose, your reason, that thing you want to pour your life into. You'll need to cut it back so that it's not any bigger than your fears or your frustrations or your illusions or your rationalizations. It's very simple. That's why we do self-improvement. It's not just for improvement's sake. It's so that our mind is equal to our mission. Some of us have some really grandiose ideas. And Hawk says, make them big. It's better to shoot your arrow at the moon and hit an eagle than an eagle and hit a rock. Yes, there's nothing wrong with something magnificent and significant. If we're willing to pay the price to prepare our body and our mind to be equal to that mission. We don't get to choose a big mission and a small mind. It's not an option. Because you can't get there with a small mind. I'm not talking about IQ. I'm talking about the noise we have in our heads, the self-doubt, the fear, the lack of confidence, the catastrophizing, the fantasizing, all those things that keep our mind small and keep us from that vision we have for our life. That's called mental health. Mental health. Now, mental health has varying degrees. Some of those are so serious they require medications or hospitalizations. Some of them have diagnoses. But most of us fall into a category where it's just stinking thinking that's in the way. Well, we get to choose tonight. Are we going to take this on or not? Because you get a choice. Either make your dream as small as you are currently thinking, or change your thinking so your mind can show up to assist you in fulfilling your dream. That's a wonderful piece, is it not? And again, I emphasize, it's the quality of this. It is not the quantity. We want our mind and our body to be transparent. And then we can transcend ourselves. Transcend ourselves. It's very interesting that in our world, we are so well equipped in our educational system to think systemically. Rules, policies, procedures, even extrinsically in terms of weight and measure and tangible things. But few of us are ever taught how to be ourselves. How to be ourselves, our own self. To make the effort to become We just have never been taught that. There's hardly any classes on the topic. Certainly not in upper education. Oh, there's psychology classes, more from an extrinsic, tangible place, or systems, or diagnoses. But from truly an intrinsic place, no. Very few classes. That's something that we've almost been left to do on our own. Sometimes religion or spirituality certainly can go into that space. And sometimes it's relegated to that space at the expense of people being turned off by it. What a tragedy. The value, the pricelessness of the human being, of having a purpose in our life, bigger than ourselves. So that's one. Great question. Why am I on this planet? Might write it down. Start exploring it. See if all the things that have happened to you in your life have led to this moment in time. What is it you want to do with your life? And then don't hold your mission hostage to your current financial needs. That doesn't mean it can't produce the income, but it won't if you hold it hostage to that requirement. Because you focus on the people, and the money will come. Second question. Why do I work with this organization? Why is it a fit? I had a conversation today with someone with a network marketing company. The person could say, well, they've been around for 25 years. They've got groundbreaking products, great leadership, over $1 billion in sales. Those were great reasons for that person. That fit their mission. Another person might say, I'm with this organization because they're progressive. They're intrinsically validating. The tragedy is, for most, when they finally answer the first question and they look at the organization with which they're attached, they find a disconnect. That's a tragedy, a disconnect. This organization really isn't a fit for what they want to accomplish. Now, sometimes it's not a fit because of the way they've been approaching the business. And so we would have a conversation around, before you make a change, let's take a look at the thought processes that have been showing up and see if any of them are contributing to the feeling of it not being a fit. Is it possible that some of the things you don't like here will be present in every other place that you go? It's just been a misunderstanding of what reality really looks like. On the other hand, there may be personalities in people that, when you really look at them, could be despicable, could be dishonest. And then we get to make choices. I know of these choices. Making choices that impact hundreds of thousands of dollars of income based on principle. Sometimes we have to make those choices. Dr. Hartman tells of a time when he was a professor. And he was teaching at a prestigious university. He loved it. He had tenure. And then his department had retired. And as he said, the new person that came in was an evil person. Evil person. And he got so sick that he would vomit sometimes thinking about just going into the school to teach. And he finally had to, he said he couldn't be fired because he had tenure. He finally made the decision to quit, even without a new job. However, his desire to bless the lives of people soon landed him into another prestigious professorship. When you really are intent on making a difference in this world, you will find a place. You will find a place. So make sure that wherever you are, that you're not selling yourself or wasting the divine capital that you are because of a misfit in what you're doing. Three. How can this organization help me fulfill my meaning and purpose in the world? How can this organization, can you imagine if employers took this posture? If in interviewing a new prospective employee, they said, what is your mission and purpose? Why are you on this planet? What is it that you're meant to do? Why this organization? And how can we help you in meeting that mission? Can you imagine how people would feel about working in a place like that? I work in a place like that. I got Chase sitting here. It's 7:30 at night. Chase, who handles all of that customer service intake we have here in the office, sitting here listening to this call. Why? Because he wants to be a better person. He wants to serve people, love people, and take care of people. That's why he's here listening. Doesn't have to be. He's here on his own time doing this. Isn't that amazing? What would make somebody want to do that? Because he knows why he's here on this planet. He knows why he's here with this organization. And he knows that this organization is determined to help him meet that mission. Now, lastly, when we have these three questions answered, the fourth and final question becomes so interesting. And that is, how can I help this organization to help me fulfill my meaning in the world? How can I help this organization to help me fulfill my meaning in the world? Can you imagine how an employee would show up differently in the workplace if they were passionately driven to create everything they could to help an organization help them fulfill their meaning and purpose in the world? This means that I, with all my powers and goodwill, will reciprocate the goodwill of the organization toward me. That I'm not like one of those workers I'm reading from Dr. Hartman's speech in a shop who only works there and do the minimum with which they can get away and hold back 40% of their powers, thus hurting themselves, their inner selves, and much more than the organization they work for. That I fulfill my own self by fulfilling my duty, and more than my duty toward the organization. That the organization becomes the creative instrument of my own self-fulfillment. There is no happier relationship in all the world than such a relationship toward and with an organization in which one works. Now, some of you are with organizations like this. I know some of them. And if the wives complain, now he's a little sexist, so bear with him. This is 1968. Complain saying that you are married more to your work than to them, they really mean it as the highest accolade, both to you and your organization. My wife often says she wishes she were a class, one of his classes that he was teaching. For there, I really give myself and am truly myself. When's the last time you felt that way about what you're doing? It may be of assistance to go back to question one. Why am I here? Who am I? What purpose was I born? For what purpose? How can I fully maximize that divine capital that I represent to grow it and to bear fruit, to contribute to the universe? And with that answer, why this organization? And then how can this organization help me to realize that purpose? And lastly, how can I help that organization to help me realize that purpose? Dr. Hartman said, if I can answer all four questions to my satisfaction, I have integrated my life, my job, my intellectual interests all into one, and I am a harmonious human being in the right spot. My world is complete. And of course, no executive could do this job as an executive unless he answers to his own satisfaction these four questions. So explore with me for a moment. And if you could could participate, that would be wonderful. For what purpose were you born into this world? Does somebody have a feeling that's boiling up inside of them that's ready to come out that they could share with us? Is anyone feeling this? Has anyone looked at life at this depth with this amount of purpose? As Og says in Scroll 5, seal up its container of life so that not one drop spills upon the sand. I'll waste not one moment mourning yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart. For why should I throw good after bad? Can you feel it?
Dave, this is Alexandra.
Alexandra, bless your heart. How are you?
I'm surviving. No, I'm not doing more than surviving. I think I'm back to myself again.
Ooh.
Been a long haul, but it's the first time I feel myself as connected to my source. And God, thank you to you. You're an amazing being. Amazing. And thank you for being a blessing in my life. I feel so, so connected to children and feel like I am here to help children remember who they are / people. Here to remind people of who they are. I just got such a glowing testimony from a client that I had been working with, and I mean, I just think to myself, my God, I know I've helped a lot of people, but if I could help a larger group of people like I helped this person and children, to teach, to help children with life skills for purpose and passion and their feelings, emotional literacy. That's what I feel I'm here to do. And that's why I was given this idea 20-some years ago. And I feel so, so committed to this right now. And this little butt wants to sneak in there. This little butt says, but God forgot that she gave me the idea. And I feel like I'm out here floundering, you know, with it. So, anyhow, I wanted to share because I do feel strongly that that is my purpose, to help people remember who they are. And the power that's within us. Oh, my God, do I have the calling card to come from experience on that. Just like you said.
You have that moment, don't you, where you just go right? I don't want to say anything that you would not want to discuss publicly.
No, that's fine. The people who are on this call have got to be family. I don't even know them, but whoever's on this call, whoever works with you, has got to be family with me.
Well, you have gone through a journey for the last 3 weeks I would not wish on anybody. Is it fair to say that you have been taken right to the edge without giving details that we don't need to give? But there are some on this call, Alexandra, I think feel similarly. They've gone right to the edge. And you're at a decision, do I jump?
Yes.
Or do I stand up and fight the forces that are trying to push me over the edge?
Yep.
And you have...
So many times, those words of yours, Herculean effort, they're like stamped in my brain. And calls in the morning I'm listening to, work on myself, I've used every tool I know of to get strong again and to remember who I am. Oh, boy. I am so at this point of surrender.
So who are you, Alexandra?
Feels like it.
So who are you?
I am a vehicle. I'm a conduit. That's not who I am. I'm a soul. I'm a child of a very powerful universe. I am a spark of, I'm a spark, you know. I am here with a purpose and a passion to express through this vehicle called Alexandra, through this vehicle of myriad experiences that have pushed me to the edge, that have brought pain and all spectrum of emotions in my life. There's no accident why I've written a book about feelings. I've felt them all. I am pushed right now because I have been pushed to walk my talk. And I am here with such a purpose that I just can't wait to fulfill. And I just like, God, lay it on me. I'm here. Just bring it on.
And he loved you enough to take you to a space to let you walk your talk. So when
yep.
you talk it, people will know you've walked it. Because I don't know that you're going to find anybody on this planet, regardless of what they've been through, that you won't know what they're feeling.
That's right. I agree.
Really know.
I agree. The other day I made several calls to senior centers and different organizations to see how I could offer, what a joke, the laughter yoga teacher. Here I am to make your participants laugh, you know. Here I am to bring laughter. And here I was like living my life, death warmed over. So the other morning I was having one of my enormous meltdowns, and moments after I got a return call from the Indio Senior Center home, and my husband answered the phone and he said, you better take this call, this is going to shift you. And I didn't know how I could talk to this person. I didn't know how I could do it, but I took the call and I said good morning, thanked him for calling me back, and he said, did I wake you? is this the laughter yoga teacher that I called? And I said, well, I'm just sort of starting my day. Anyhow, I am going there Thursday night, and he's going to have me come as a guest to his center, and he's going to invite me to do a laughter yoga class. I got another call today, and I am going to have so much fun laughing again. And helping other people laugh.
The catharsis of laughter.
Yes.
Yes.
I hope I haven't taken too much of your time on your call.
Oh, when you came on the line, I was so happy to hear your voice. Because I know there are some on this line who are having some really difficult and challenging times.
Oh, boy.
Would you agree that the gift that comes from the challenging time is getting centered on what matters most?
Oh, it really is. And you know, it has definitely, it's got to be an internal shift. You can read the books and you can listen to the words, but this is so clear right now to me. You've got to feel what you're feeling. Oh, man, does that hit home? You've got to feel what you're feeling, no matter how nasty it is, and move through it, ride the wave through it. You know, you don't have to dramatize it like you know, throwing something or hitting something or someone or anything like that. Feel it. And I am so grateful. I have one of the most, if not the most, powerful tool for self-development, and that is how to move through these feelings I have been so grateful for this protocol that I use.
I want to read you a line from from Og Mandino. He says, I will try and try and try again. Each obstacle I will consider as a mere detour to my goal and a challenge to my profession. And then he makes this statement. I will persist and develop my skills as the mariner develops his by learning to ride out the wrath of each storm.
Which role is that?
Scroll number 3. I'll persist until I succeed.
Okay. I've been reviewing all of those scrolls, by the way. And every one has just been piercing my heart so deeply. So powerful.
When you think about Og, now here's Og. He's lost his wife. He's lost his daughter, and he's estranged from them for a lifetime. He's an alcoholic, and he can't get control of his alcoholism. He finally gets a handle on it, finds Betty, marries her, and he's just on the verge, just barely awakening, and he's given the opportunity to write this book. And you can feel when he says, can sand flow upward in the hourglass? Will the sun rise where it sets and set where it rises? Can I relive the errors of yesterday and write them? Now, you and I visited this. Can I relive, can I call back yesterday's wounds and make them whole? Can I become younger than yesterday? Can I take back the, this is Og speaking of his own behavior. Can I take back the evil that was spoken, the blows that were struck, the pain that was caused? No. Yesterday is buried forever, and I will think of it no more.
I just read that today. Oh.
Now we take all that experience, and as we said in the material, and Kevin Hall was gracious enough to quote it in his new book, Aspire, that our character is forged in the furnace of adversity. It's not in the life of ease. Character's forged in the furnace of adversity. We can't take back the past. But if we use it as a rich resource from which we bless other people, because you said a moment ago, you have felt the feelings. You know what they feel like. You now know. So when you hear somebody else or see that look on their face, you'll be able to feel with them at a level you have never been able to feel with them before. You had the words. You had the wisdom. You had the intellect. And for those on the phone, you had the PhD.
Yeah.
You had all of those things. Now you own the feelings. Yeah. The very thing you've been teaching. So you can show up differently. And when we do show up differently, there is finally purpose in our suffering. So all those on the phone, if you're going through a challenging time, you're talking to someone or listening to someone right now, Alexandra, who is in the middle of one, a horrific challenge that just about cut the feet off of their family. Just awful. And she's saying, I'm going through those feelings. I'm feeling them. Now I know. Now I can show up. Now I know why what I've been teaching works. Because I'm using it and it's working for me. So now I can teach it with even greater confidence to other people, to assist them, because I now know. This isn't an intellectual exercise.
Yeah.
This is a life exercise. That's why the principles in the six qualities of an intentional creator I speak with such passion. This is not an intellectual exercise of connecting with people, of learning to use your mind constructively, of being present in the now, of being ordered and structured with discipline, of finding joy in the journey and healing your self-esteem. These were lessons learned in the furnace of adversity. May we all have the courage to ask these questions. Okay, so all of this has happened to me. All of this has brought me to this point in life. Okay, universe, God, for what purpose? And we often ask that question in derogatory, frustrated terms of why me versus, okay, why me in terms of what have you prepared me for? What have you prepared me for? Get clear on this if you can this week, all of you who are on the phone. What is your purpose? What are you going to pour your life into? It doesn't matter how big it is. Just make it something of quality, like Virginia Colson, my fifth grade teacher, or the President of the United States. It doesn't matter what it is. Pour your life into it and use your divine capital to grow and bear fruit. Zog says, today I begin a new life. Today I shed my old skin, which hath too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Today I am born anew, and my birthplace is a vineyard where there is fruit for all. It's a vineyard because we're growing, and our divine capital is producing fruit for all. We are feeding the universe instead of taking from it. Those who seek to just be rich are takers. Those who seek to satisfy their own lusts are just takers. You can live in a beautiful home, you can have wonderful things, and have your life dedicated to blessing the lives of others, and when you have them, you'll want to use those things to bless the lives of other people. It's a whole different way of living. And I love this time of history, because it's awakening us to a new possibility. The real secret to success. Well, thanks, Alexandra. Is there anyone listening tonight that would like to share a thought that they're having in this conversation?
Hi, David.
It's Nate. This is Shane.
I'm sorry?
Oh.
Who is it?
Ahead.
Go ahead, please.
Go ahead, Shane.
Sure?
Sure.
Okay. Dave, the thoughts I'm having is, the weekend that I spent with you, I would have very clear answers for the questions. 3 or 4 months down the road, tonight I'm sitting here thinking, I'm not sure I know why I'm here. I thought I was progressing along a track, and now all of that's being redefined, and it's still kind of lost. Motivation isn't there. What I found to replace and to build, I haven't necessarily developed a passion for it like I should have, considering the situation I'm in. And, it's great from a financial standpoint, but I don't have a passion for it. It's just a tough space to be in. Ultimately the reason why I'm here is provide for a family, and I have to be passionate about that. And whatever it takes to provide for them is my passion right now.
And sometimes that becomes the passion. However, I sense there's something bigger and greater in both you and Judy. I've thought this now for 3 weeks, and I don't know why I haven't verbalized it. Maybe it's because we just left the cabin. At the very end of the cabin, whenever we have friends up there and we spend time together, we always end the weekend with a prayer, and we always say, we're friends for life. Remember that, Shane? Friends for life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want you to call Ramona tomorrow and schedule a time for you and Judy and me, either meet in person or on the phone, and friends for life, let's see what I can do to help you sort through some of these decisions. This is just so critical for you, and I've been aching for you, and I've been saying, God, what can I do? And it just became crystal clear that perhaps just having some time together we might be able to sort through it. Would you do that tomorrow?
How early does she get up?
She'll be here in the morning, probably around 10.
Okay.
Now, it might be on the weekend with the schedule that we've got right now, or next week, but if we want to meet as soon as possible, it'll probably be Saturday morning. I'll let her know tonight when I go home that that's fine. And let's get it scheduled ASAP, and let's just deal with this, because there's just too much at stake. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. There was one other person that wanted to make a comment.
Hi, Dave. It's Naomi.
Naomi. Great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
How is Canada?
It's great. The wind's howling outside.
Are you still up in...
in the Naomi's, Arctic, yeah.
Those are,
up on Baffinet.
She's in the Arctic. She's a nurse, and she goes up to the Arctic to take care of some of the native people in this small little village every year, and to do it in January, what a Herculean task. Andrea used
it's
that phrase.
It's fun. I wanted to say thank you to Alexandra for sharing, and I just, when you were talking about, when you brought up the laughter yoga, I was like, wow, that's just so cool. I've been looking into that, and when I do go back to the city, and I'm looking forward to joining a laughter yoga. I think it's just is such an amazing way to laughter just puts life in perspective, and so many things just that we can't think into place, they just laughing and just makes them fall there. And so thank you, Alexandra.
Oh, you're so, so welcome. Thank you for all the beautiful work that you're doing up there. Beautiful. Helping those people.
Well, the
up
other
there.
Well, the thing that, Dave, when you were talking about purpose is, yes, over the last few weeks, months, I've been trying to figure that out. And more recently, I was thinking about my career choice, yes, as a nurse, but the reason why I went into nursing, because I've never enjoyed the medical side, just doesn't excite me. As I looked back, the various places I've worked during my career is that I went into it first. I worked on a spinal cord injury ward, and my reason for choosing that was I wanted to be able to help these people who had experienced a traumatic, drastic change in their life. It wasn't an oncology ward where people were dying, because that's a whole different ballgame, but it was something, it was where people had experienced traumatic change and their life would never be the same. And I wanted to be able to help them see that life was still worth living, that there were things they could still do that they wouldn't think of, and just help them and their families get through that. And so that was one. And then as I moved through to other areas, and then working up here with the Inuit, it has been... my purpose has been, you know, working on oncology, was having people know that somebody cared and have people be treated with respect. Working in Northern Canada, you know, often with Aboriginal or Indigenous peoples who often don't get treated with respect. Behaviors also don't tend often to encourage that at times. But to be able to, at the end of a flight or something, once in a blue moon, have somebody say thank you. You just, and whether they give you a hug or just a knowing that I had made a difference in how that event went for them, that they felt their loved one was cared about, they felt that they were cared about or listened to, or when I couldn't do anything. And the same up here. Not that I'm always successful, and not that I don't get impatient and frustrated, but the goal has always been to make a difference in people's lives. And so now, as I look at it, I see that my path may change from the medical aspect of it, but my purpose is still to make a difference and help people realize their value and realize, I don't know, that be able to breathe again, that one story of yours, which is just has so much meaning for me.
And you're finding it. That's the beautiful part. Thank you.
But it was just going back to saying, well, what is it that I enjoy? What is it that motivate, in what creates passion within me? And so realizing that, no, it was not the job I do or not certain other things. It's always what that aspect of people. And even for Shane, I'm going, well, what things in life do bring out passion? If it was not about the money, careers that you would do for the fun of it, what is it about that creates the passion? Which then shows who we really are inside and what brings life to us.
Thank you. And we may find in some circumstances that our mission is such that it requires funding. Mother Teresa, tenacious fundraiser. There wasn't a better one. But she loved to take care of the children of Calcutta and beyond. Raised $110 million in her lifetime. Just an amazing human being. Fundraising was not her thing. Taking care of children was. But she did that piece so she could fulfill her mission. And sometimes
exactly.
We might have a profession that is not something that fulfills our mission, but it funds whatever that mission is.
Oh.
And that's okay, too.
Exactly.
And we may show up in that profession differently when we see it for that purpose. Then our questions would be, is this a good organization? Is this a reputable team? Are we hurting anyone? Are we blessing lives? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, then I can continue doing this in good faith and showing up and pouring myself into it during the time that I've allotted to this profession so that it can, in fact, generate the funds necessary to do the mission that moves my soul. So it could be, as Naomi has found, her very nursing and finding that piece of nursing that brings her joy. Alexandra, who's been given a tremendous gift to teach, who had such intellectual information, it's powerful information, but now got to be a teacher with empathy. She got to have her Gethsemane, which makes her a much more powerful teacher. And for all of us, let us explore this question. Why am I on this planet? What is my purpose? Let us see if we can find it this week. And come prepared next week to share. Share what you've discovered. And then you can make decisions about the organizations that you're with, whether they're assisting you in achieving your mission, and what you can do to help them help you in achieving your mission. Then the day's a different place. The work we do is different. The attention to detail is different. The passion that we bring is different. You heard Jenny last week. I'm still tingling some from her conversation of the excitement that she was experiencing. And Alexander, if I may be so bold, I hope I don't break a confidence by sharing this, but you sent me a text last week after hearing Jenny.
Oh, yes.
You remember the text?
Oh, yeah.
May I share it?
Of course, yeah. I'm happy to say it. I was jealous.
I'm not sure if I can ever feel that way again. And now a week later, you're here. Oh, thrilling.
See, that's my greatest pain. That, and that is my greatest pain, when I lose touch with my joy.
Yeah.
I know it's right here. It hasn't gone anywhere. But when my thinking gets in the way, and I've lost touch with that joy. And when I heard Jenny, it's like, oh my God, I want that so badly. I just want it so badly. God, you've forgotten me. I got to breathe again.
We find out he didn't forget anything.
I know.
He's just gracious enough to give us an experience so that we can show up different. And we couldn't have
different.
Shown up the way you're going to show up without having had the experience. As awful as it was. Wow. Someday you'll be grateful for it, retrospectively, of course. You'll never want to do it again.
No.
But you'll be grateful. I look back at 1989 through 2000. There's not a thing I would change. As awful as some of those moments were, as devastating as they were, would not want to change any one of them. They were all a gift. I wouldn't want to do it again, but they were all a gift. Well, thanks everyone for your participation tonight. This is a sober topic, but life is sober. We're living, fully engaged, embracing principles, connecting with people, creating value everywhere we go, contributing to the world, versus those who still are seeking for a life of ease and being battered by the baseball bat of life. It doesn't exist. Let us be engaged in a good cause. Well, thanks, everybody. We'll look forward to next Tuesday night. Good night.
Thank you, Dave. God bless your sweet soul.